tonight to turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Ephesians, chapter 4. Read verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. It continues down in the verse 2, but we just want to look at this first verse tonight. It is the commencement of the practical portion of the book of Ephesians. Paul begins this practical section of the book by stating the basis of what he was about to say or write. He says, I therefore, again, a connective and transitional word. It's indicative of the fact that he was building upon a previous subject. He's drawing from what he had said previously in the first three chapters. In addition to stating the basis of what he is about to say, he also states his present circumstances, the prisoner of the Lord. The phrase of the Lord, I believe, reveals, first of all, why he was in prison. He was confined to prison for the cause of Christ. And the phrase also reveals that he viewed his circumstances as willed and ordered by the Lord. The phrase tells us that he did not see his circumstances as separate and apart from the Lord, nor did he see his circumstances as an exemption from his responsibilities to the Lord. So after stating the basis of what he is about to say, I therefore, everything he said in the first three chapters, that's the basis. And having stated his present circumstances, he then makes a plea, beseech you. That is, I earnestly beg and plead with you. It shows the urgency of what he's about to say. It expresses the importance of what he is about to say. He then goes on to state his plea that you walk, that ye live habitually, worthy. That is, in a becoming manner, in a manner suitable to and a manner fitting to, would be fitting to what has been previously said. That you walk worthy of the vocation. Vocation is our function. It's our occupation, it's our business, it's our purpose. Wherewith you're called. So Paul is saying in this verse, I therefore, backing up to everything he said in the first three verses. So what he's saying is, considering what God has done for you, and to the state and condition that he has called you to, he says, I make earnest request of you that you behave, that you act, that you conduct and carry yourselves in a way that is in harmony with your calling of God. And from chapter 4, verse 1 through the end of the book, detailed applications of this plea are stated. So our subject tonight is our all-encompassing calling. It goes hand in hand with the message of this morning. Again, what we see here in chapter 4 is the beginning, the practical portion. The book can be divided into two parts, chapters 1 through 3, chapters 4 through 6. If you read through chapters 1 through 3, you see that there is a statement of theological belief. Chapters 4 through 6 deals with the behavior that would correspond to that theological belief. Chapters 1 through 3 states the doctrine. Chapters 4 through 6 states the duty that corresponds to the doctrine. Chapters 1 through 3 declare the wealth that we have by the grace of God, especially chapter 1. Chapters 4 through 6 declare the walk that we are to manifest in accord with how God has blessed us. So Paul spent three chapters telling us what God has done for us, what God has given us, what God has provided for us. He spends the first three chapters telling us how God reached out to us in love, grace, mercy, and goodness. Now, after spending three chapters telling us that what God has done in saving our souls, he turns and says, "Now you walk worthy." That is, in a manner, fitting of what I have already said. This, chapters 4 through 6, is to be our response to the blessing of God. Chapter 4, verse 1, is to be our response to what God has done for us. So it's important to note that God's work for us is first mentioned before our response to God, which is the opposite of the mainstream teaching of today, which says that man must do his work in order that God respond to him. But oh, may we realize that it is my response to what God has done that is to be my concern. What is my response to what God has done? And not trying to get God to respond to me. In this message, we want to consider the vocation or the calling involved in salvation. And it is a calling that is not limited to salvation. It is a calling that carries on throughout our life. And we want to consider the corresponding life that calling. First of all, we that are saved are the recipients of a call from God. And if we really, truly are the recipients of this call, talking about salvation, it's not a call that you can forget. Amen. In chapter 2, of Ephesians, we're not going to turn there, but Paul paints a picture of our condition while we were unsaved. And we see from that picture that we were held in the chains and grip of spiritual death. We were helpless. We were spiritually in bondage to Satan. We were imprisoned, held in the chains of sin, held in the chains of guilt and error and ignorance and misery and danger. We see that we were in a state of condemnation. We were in a state of alienation. We were in a state of estrangement, a state of enmity, a state of spiritual bankruptcy. We were hopelessly trapped in the depths of spiritual darkness. We sat in that darkness. We walked in that darkness. We were covered in that darkness. We were full of that darkness. And we lived the life of a sinner against God. That's the picture we have in Ephesians 2. It was while we were in that condition and state that there came a call from above. There came a call from God. Concerning this call, we read in Hebrews 3 and verse 1 that we are partakers of it. We read in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 9, God is faithful by whom ye were called. Galatians 5 verse 13, ye have been called. 2 Timothy 1 verse 9, who God hath called us. With a holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And in 2 Peter 2 and verse 9, who hath called you? So each of these references speak of a call. A call that we received in our unsaved state. It was a call to come to Christ. It was a call to come to Christ in salvation. And again, it's important that we remember that the call we received in the saving of our souls was not limited to salvation. It did not stop there. But it continued on beyond our salvation experience. It is a call that continues on through our life. It's an ongoing call. It is a call for life. It is a call that continues throughout life. It is a call that gives us a purpose in life. So Paul's plea in our text is for those who are the recipients of this call to salvation, that they would walk worthy of that call. He states basically the same thing in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 12. He said that you would walk worthy of the Lord who hath called you into His kingdom and glory. The teaching, of course, of those words is that the behavior and life of the saved individual should correspond to their salvation. Our life should correspond to our call in salvation. This is our vocation. The vocation, again, is our function. It's our occupation. It's our business. It's our purpose. And such is to be our life. Our whole course in life should be to conduct ourselves as children of God ought to conduct themselves. Our whole course in life ought to be to act in accordance with the character of the name whose name we bear, Jesus Christ. Everyone who has been saved by the amazing grace of God is the recipient of this call. And therefore, everyone who has been saved has a life calling from God. Now, a vocation implies responsibility. And since we are called of God, then our responsibility is first and foremost to God. This call that we are to walk worthy of is to be our life. It is to be our vocation. It is to be our life purpose. It is to be our function in life, our occupation in life, our business in life, our purpose in life. ought to be to live for the praise of His glory. This entails many things. It means that we must love Him supremely. That is our vocation, to love Him above all others. It means that we must die to sin, that we must be crucified to the world, living by faith, trusting in Him completely, serving Him, submitting to Him, obeying Him wholeheartedly, thanking and praising Him, worshiping Him, living in fellowship with Him. That's our calling. It is a call to Himself. Our vocation, our calling, is a call to Himself. It is a call to draw close to Him. It is a call to pursue Him, to look to Him, to imitate Him. It is a call to be attentive to Him, to be focused upon Him, to be fully committed to Him. This is our vocation. This is our calling. And it extends into every facet of our life. Verses 2 through 7 of Ephesians 4, he addresses church responsibilities. This is to be our vocation in our church lives. Verses 17 through 20 of chapter 4, he speaks of our public lives. This is to be our vocation in our public lives. Chapter 5, he speaks of our married lives. This is to be our vocation in our married lives. Chapter 6, he speaks of, in verses 1 through 4, he speaks of the family. This is to be our vocation in our family lives. And in verses 5 through 9, he addresses our work lives. And this is to be our vocation in our work lives. In other words, in every aspect and phase of our lives, this is our vocation: to glorify God, to serve God. Again, life is not about life. Life is not about the happenings of life. Life is not about the so-called achievements of life. It's all about a calling. It's all about a vocation that we have received from God. Life, as we said this morning, and life circumstances do not determine our vocation. God has already determined that. That is already been determined. We have a life vocation, and that is to serve the Lord. We are to live our God vocation throughout our entire life. Notice the nature of this call that we received in salvation, because the nature of the call sheds some light upon the life that we are to live. It was and it is a permeating call. It's not something you can just shrug off. If you can shrug it off, you have not been the recipient of it. This is something that is permeating. The salvation call that came to us while we were in the prison house, did it not permeate and spread throughout the entire prison house? Was it not a call that affected our entire being? Go back to that salvation call. It was a call that affected our entire being. It was a call that affected our entire life. It was a call that had widespread ramifications. And today, again, that call is not just limited to salvation. And today, that call encompasses our entire life as a saved individual. It is a call that extends to every aspect of our life, to every position that we may hold in life, to every circumstance of our life. It is a permeating call. It's to permeate everything about us. Again, this isn't a sideline. This is our life. It was and it is a purposeful call. Romans 8:28, we are referred to those who are the called according to His purpose. And the call there is dealing with the call to salvation. We are the called according to His purpose. In salvation, God called us with an intention. And God called us according to plan. And this call continues throughout our life. And no matter what life entails, we are to live life with God's purpose in mind. Again, whether it be our church lives, our everyday public lives, our married lives, our family lives, our work life, we are to live life with God's purpose in mind. We're to live life knowing that we have a vocation, not a vacation, a vocation from God. We have a call that gives us a God purpose in life. We have a call that fills every aspect of our life with a God purpose. Again, no matter what the stage, no matter what the position or the circumstances of life, we have a God purpose. We have a God function. We have a God-given occupation. And it is to bring glory to God, serving Him, living life for Him. Thirdly, this was and is an unchangeable call. We read in Romans 11 and verse 29, "For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance." God does not change in His calling. When God called us in salvation, He's never taken that call back. He's never rescinded that call. He's never going to. It's an unchangeable call. And again, it's not just limited to our salvation. It's a call that continues throughout our life. In other words, it's an abiding call. We have a vocation wherewith you're called. And we have been called of God to fulfill. Doesn't matter what is happening in life. We have been called to fulfill a function. We have been called to fulfill an occupation and a business for God, which is again to bring glory to God, to serve Him with our life, to live our life for Him. And though life is filled with many, many changes, we have experienced many changes, all of us, and there are more changes to come. But this vocation does not change. Oh, our positions might change, but the main vocation of bringing glory to God never changes. That is our vocation. That is our purpose in life. There'll be many different seasons. The scenery may change. The chapter may change. But the vocation remains the same. To bring glory to God. To serve Him with our life. Nothing in life changes that calling. Nothing. Person may get to a point where they can't pastor anymore, they can't teach anymore, they can't lead singing anymore, they can't do this, they can't do that, they can't. But the vocation remains the same. To bring glory to God. To serve Him. To live for Him. The scenery may change. The stage may change. You tell people all the time, this is a different chapter in your life. We all have several chapters. And the chapters do change. But the vocation, to glorify God and serve Him, never changes. It remains the same. Notice also, this is, it was, and it is, a holy calling. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 9, who hath called us with a holy calling. Holiness is a setting apart. It is a call that sets us apart. The call to salvation was a call that set us apart from sin and unto Himself. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, it is a call out of darkness and into His marvelous light. In other words, it is a call that makes a manifest difference. When we became the recipients of the call to salvation, it was a call that made a difference in our life. It not only made a difference, it was a manifest difference. It was a marked difference. The effectual salvation call was a call from sin to God. A call from darkness to light. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 7, it is a call unto holiness. And again, this is a call that continues throughout our life. No matter what the occasion of life might be. Ours is a calling from the profane unto that which is sacred. That is our life calling. We're not to get entangled with the profane. We have been called to the sacred, to God. And again, this is permeating. It has a purpose. It's unchangeable. And again, it is sacred. So we have a vocation wherewith ye are called. We've been called again to fulfill a function, an occupation, and a business for God. It is a holy call. That means it is a call to live above this world. Life is not to dictate our life. God is to dictate our life. It was and is a heavenly call. Hebrews 3 and verse 1, we read that we are partakers of the heavenly calling. The heavenly calling. Something particular. It's something significant. The heavenly calling. We are partakers of that. Is there a time when we cease to be partakers of that calling? Is there a time in this life where we cease? Was it just a one-time calling? Was it just a one-time event? No, we are right now partakers of the heavenly calling. It's heavenly. That means it's unique. It's remarkable. It's noteworthy. You go back to our calling and salvation. There wasn't anything ordinary about it. There wasn't anything mundane about it. And there isn't anything mundane or ordinary about it even now, throughout our life. What we are called to is unique to the world. What we are called to is an extraordinary life, a life above the norm. God's people should never, ever be normal. We ought to always live above what is considered the norm. It's amazing how many who profess salvation strive to fit in with the norm. Why would you want to fit in with the norm? The norm is sick. Why would you want to? You received a calling that went down into the prison house of sin. And that calling continues throughout life. And it is a call to rise above the norm. It is a heavenly calling. That it is a heavenly calling means that it takes precedence over all earthly callings. It is a calling of priority. It takes priority over everything else. We have a vocation from God, a calling from God to glorify God, to serve God with our life. And that calling takes precedence over everything else. It is our main calling. There are several occupations in this building. There are electricians. There are insurance people. There are bus drivers. There are jewelry people. And on we can go. But that is not anyone's main vocation. Our main calling is to glorify God. That is our greatest commitment. That is our greatest concern. Oh, I want to grow this business so that my children can have it, and my grandchildren, and my great-grandchildren. You're missing the point. That's not what life is about. It ought to be, I want to glorify God in everything. And I'm here to serve God. You want to leave something to your grandchildren? Leave a testimony that you serve God. God's people need to wake up to see what it's about. This is our main calling. It is a heavenly calling. And it is the emphasis of our life. This calling is the emphasis and the point of everything else in our life. There are a lot of things that go on in our life. And there's nothing wrong with those things. But the main point of everything is this vocation from God. This calling to serve God. Paul referred to it in Philippians 3 and verse 14 as the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It is the high calling. In other words, it is what matters most. It's what truly matters. And yet today, it seems like many, well, it doesn't seem like it, it's just a plain fact, have lost sight of what matters most. And that is this vocation from God. Again, this should not be a strange concept. This is something that there shouldn't be any disagreement whatsoever. None. This is our vocation. It is our main calling. It is our purpose in life. Lastly, it was, talking about the call of salvation, and is a powerful call. Go back to the day when we became the recipients of that call to salvation. It was a call that penetrated through the grave of spiritual death. Do you realize the power that it took to penetrate the grave of spiritual death? It was a call that penetrated the grave of spiritual death. It was a call that pierced through the dense darkness and ignorance that you and I were in. It was a call that bore through the walls of our imprisonment. And it was a call that reached us in our alienation and estrangement from God. We're talking about something powerful. It was a call that reached all the way down into the depths of our sin, all the way down into the depths of our alienation and our enmity and our misery and our condemnation and our helplessness. And it was a call that overpowered our heart, drawing our will to embrace Jesus Christ. This is a powerful call that we were the recipients of. It was a call that resulted in deliverance. It was a call that resulted in restoration and reclamation. It was a call that overpowered our being. That's why it's effectual. The day we became the recipients of this call, we were overpowered. There was nothing we could do. It was a call that overpowered our being. And it was a call that drove us to our knees. And it was a call that drew our attention to Him. I'm not talking about the call that the Arminians talk about, that you can shrug off if you please. I'm talking about a call that overpowered our being. A call that drove us to our knees and drew our attention to Him, causing us to look to Him, come to Him, and cast everything upon Him. It's a powerful call. From all this, we see it as a call that results in a radical and dramatic change. And again, it's not just limited to salvation, but it is a call that continues throughout our life and becomes our vocation. And it is a call that is to have a lifelong impact upon us. Again, go back to when you were in the prison house of sin, and that call came from above, and all the impact that it had upon your soul, it's to be no less today. This is a call that is to impact us. It is a driving force. Again, it drove us to our knees. And this call is still to be a driving force in our life. The call to glorify God. The call to serve Him with our life. The call to give Him our all. That ought to be a driving force. It's a call that has a powerful effect. Go back again to the prison house when you were lost. And a call came from above. And it had an effect, an immediate effect, upon your thoughts, upon your attitudes, your outlook, everything. And this call continues today. And it is to have a powerful effect upon our thoughts. We don't think like the world, or we ought not to. And what changes our thoughts is the impact of God in our lives. The impact of this call upon our thoughts. upon our attitudes. You look at many who claim to be saved, their attitudes are no different. In some cases, it's worse than many of the world. It ought to have an impact upon our outlook, upon our actions. Certainly ought to have an impact upon our day, the calling of God. You see, it's the realization, it's the reality of this call that enables us to loosen our grip on the things of the world and yield to Christ. We're not called to serve this world. We're not called to serve life. We're called to serve the Lord. And it is this call that prevents us from assigning a false value to the things of the world. Any individual who gives up the spiritual for the world has assigned a false value to the things of this world. They're deceived. But this call, the realization of this call, prevents us from assigning a false value to the things of this world. It also helps us to concentrate our effort and energy in what life is really all about. So in closing, we read our text that you walk, that you live worthy, becoming of, suitable to, the vocation wherewith you're called. And that is, again, there's that therefore. It is in light of salvation blessings abundantly bestowed upon us. The blessings of salvation have been abundantly bestowed upon us. And now we are to walk in a way that is suitable to the life that God has called us to live. You see, when God called us out of the prison house, He also called us to live a life for Him. He didn't just call us out of the prison house and then leave us there. But again, it's a call that continues throughout our lives. Whatever the happenings of life might be, doesn't change this calling. Doesn't change it. And there isn't anything in life that is to take priority over our main vocation. Nothing. Nothing is to take precedence over our main vocation. The vocation that God has given us to bring glory to His name, to serve Him all the days of our life, and to serve Him with our life. We fail miserably. We don't serve Him like we would like. But every day, we ought to hear this calling. Every day, we ought to wake knowing that we have a purpose. And we have a responsibility to bring glory to God and serve Him. Doesn't matter what else happens. Nothing changes that. If affliction comes, we're to glorify God in the affliction. If prosperity comes, we're to glorify God in the prosperity. If trials and difficulties come, we're to glorify God in that. Nothing changes. Our main calling, which is to live for God. You know, I'm glad that when God called me to salvation, He didn't just bring me out of the miry pit. It says that He placed our feet upon a rock and established our goings. He didn't just leave us there, but He gave us a calling. He gave us a purpose. He gave us a purpose in life. You look today at many, they have no purpose in life. They don't know, they have no idea why they're here. None whatsoever. Sadly, there are those who profess to be saved who have no purpose in life. The child of God is to always have a purpose. Glorify Him. To serve Him. That is our purpose in our life. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. God help us. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us, verse 6.